Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Freedom of Species would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast today. We pay our respect to the elders of all of the lands on which we meet across Australia.
And welcome back. You are listening to 3CR, and that was Out of the Pan with Sal. This is Freedom of Species. My name is Meg. I am the host. And here in the studio, I have guest Nat Kopass, who is from Duck Rescue Geelong. Welcome to the studio, Nat.
Thanks, Meg. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here today.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's definitely a topic that is very timely and one that we want to make sure that we talk about, because there's lots to talk about. So, Nat, can you talk about a little bit about yourself, your history with Duck Rescue Geelong, and a little bit about the organisation as well?
Sure. So I've been doing this for 24 years, which is far, far longer than I ever imagined this campaign would continue. Overall, this is the 40th year of the campaign, which is quite horrifying. I started out with the Coalition Against Duck Shooting initially, and then just realised that with work and other commitments, it was difficult to attend as regularly as I'd like to. So
that's here in Melbourne, is that right?
No, that's usually sort of around the rest of the state.
Oh, I see.
So yes. Often there's further distances to travel to some of those wetlands. So a small group of us realised that it was much easier to manage travelling to Geelong on a sort of a weekly basis, and that we would be able to attend in some capacity every weekend. And so Geelong Duck Rescue was born in about 2010, and our work has continued in that sort of western region, but predominantly in Geelong, where it's just ridiculous how built up it is now, and yet duck shooting is still allowed to continue in the middle of town.
Mm. And so for the very few people who don't know about what duck season is, can you tell us what it is, how long it is, what the duration is, and a little bit about basically tell us what it is and what you are trying to work against, basically?
Well, we should never forget that it is a recreational duck shooting season. This is people shooting native wildlife, and they're doing it for fun. The season is 83 days long, which is essentially 3 months.
And we're currently in it now,
is that right? We're currently in it now. It started on the 18th of March, and it will continue until the King's Birthday long weekend. And it's a bunch of men, predominantly, about 98% of duck shooters are men, running around with guns, being like Rambo, hiding in bushes, and blasting small birds out of the sky. And that's the reality of it, and that's what we're working against, because the cruelty is inherent, even the best shot. You know, it's not a bullet that is used. It's a shotgun cartridge, which contains about 200 small pellets of metal. And so this sprays outwards. And therefore, you know, it's not just the target bird that gets shot, but others will be wounded, and they will be, you know, they will be left to fall into reeds. Sometimes they will continue to fly for quite a distance, and they will die a slow, painful death over the next few days. So it is inherently cruel, no matter how careful somebody is. The wounding rate is estimated at between 3 and 40%, which is hundreds of thousands of wounded native wildlife every year.
That's really disturbing. And so I guess my question is, this has been going on for such a long time, and I believe the Victorian government is the one that, you know, dictates whether the season goes ahead or not. What do you think are the reasons that the Victorian government continues to allow duck season to happen, despite the fact that I believe there's a majority of the public against the idea of shooting ducks and, you know, and the duck season? Why do you think the Victorian government continues to allow this to happen?
Duck shooters are a very small but very loud minority, for starters. But secondly, there was an inquiry in 2023, a Labor inquiry into duck shooting. The recommendations were actually to ban duck shooting in Victoria. Yet when Jacinta Allen took over as Premier, she decided to keep it. There's various theories I could put forward. There are rumours that her husband is a duck shooter. There are certain ties to unions and pressure. So if the ETU and the CFMEU did come out and say that they need to shoot ducks for their mental health and that they would walk off the big build projects if they were not allowed to shoot ducks, and there was a ban in Victoria, and I believe that she caved to that pressure.
Very interesting. So wheels within wheels and, you know, continuing this obviously quite outdated and not very popular
Extremely outdated. This is not, you know, if you ask the average person, most people think that it's already banned. Or they think that, you know, maybe it just goes on for a couple of days, not for a quarter of the year. And even in regional areas, most people are horrified by it. They don't want this. They want to be able to enjoy, you know, waking up in the morning to birdsong, not to gunshots. They want to be able to walk safely along a foreshore without imagining that someone's going to jump out of a bush holding a gun. And this is actually the reality of what happens in places like Geelong and Colac, where it's happening, you know, very close to town. You know, in Geelong, if you walk along the Warralilly walking track, which is the walking track that's being created for the new sort of Armstrong Creek growth housing area, you can actually at some points be within about 25, 30 metres of where shooting takes place. So you can be on a public walking track and you can have pellets falling on your head from duck shooters.
Oh my gosh.
Who are in there. Yeah. And that is legal. That is allowed. Can you imagine if you were like going for a walk with your children in a stroller or out walking with your dog? You wouldn't necessarily know what it is. It's not painful, but it's quite confronting if you know what it is, that you're actually being like, you've got shotgun pellets raining down on your head. Mm. And this is in a public walking track. So
yeah, I'm sure there's safety issues to do with that as
well.
Well,
you would think there were safety issues, but everyone just passes the buck. So you raise it with council and they say it's a state issue. You try and raise it with, you know, the Minister for Environment, who is the one who sort of signs off on this. He doesn't tend to return phone calls or emails or agree to meet with anybody who actually likes wildlife.
And speaking of states, now I know that we were talking off air. Now I believe some states have banned duck season and other states haven't. Can you just let us know which states have actually banned duck season?
So Western Australia, Queensland and New South Wales have all banned duck shooting. And years ago, I think Western Australia was in 1995 from memory.
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah.
And all those arguments about how we'll be overrun with ducks and, you know, there won't be any crops left on any farms. Well, interestingly, none of that's come to happen in any of those states. So I think we can discount those arguments made by shooters.
Yeah, that does seem to crop up a lot, you know, this whole conservation issue of, you know, well, we're just controlling duck populations, etc. Another thing that I've actually I've heard quite a lot about is, you know, oh, well, the shooters are very well versed on different species of duck and, you know, they don't target ducks that are endangered, etc. Now, I've also heard many, many stories to the contrary on that. Can you give us any examples of, obviously there are very, very endangered ducks and other species who come in under fire? Do you have any stories of where it's been blatant that these people just don't know what species they're shooting at?
Probably so many that I'm not sure which one to pick from, to be honest. Bearing in mind that for most of the season, apart from the first 5 days, you can shoot half an hour before sunrise and half an hour after sunset. So you're shooting in the dark or, you know, dusk. So even if you can identify species in broad daylight, it becomes much harder then. So, for example, there are some ducks that can look like the game species, like the endangered freckled duck, and every year they are shot. And in actual fact, it's rescuers who bring them out who get prosecuted by the authorities for being in possession of a threatened species. It's not the person who shot them who has legal consequences for this. But I remember like a particular occasion when I saw a shooter shoot an avocet. Now, an avocet has a bright red head. It's a wading bird and it looks nothing like a duck. And they shot it. It fell down into the water in front of them and they picked it up and they just piffed it into the bushes behind them because they obviously didn't want to be caught, you know, having done that. And it was just that total lack of any sort of feeling or remorse or, oh, what have I done? It was just like, oh, no, better get rid of this evidence quickly.
Yeah. I've heard and I've seen pictures of swans as well. I mean, they are very hard to distinguish. I mean, they're very hard to mistake for a duck. And, you know, I have always wondered about the stories behind that. You know, how do you shoot a swan instead of a duck? It's
Well, I think especially what we're seeing is that the numbers of duck species have certainly decreased over the years. And so often a shooter might be out there for hours and barely see only a couple of small flocks or a couple of individual ducks. And if they don't happen to shoot them, they get more and more frustrated. So even on the opening morning last year, within 45 minutes, one of the shooters missed two ducks and then he shot at a swamp hen, which again is nothing like a duck.
So you think that that was a deliberate shooting of a swamp hen, or was it something that was missed, like, you know, with the pellets?
No, that was definitely two ducks flew over that direction. He missed. You could tell he kept sort of shooting after them even as they were getting out of range, so that sort of indicated like this frustration. And then just coincidentally a swamp hen flew over in the other direction and he shot at it. Like, to me, that was just an impulsive kind of I missed the one that I wanted, so I'll just try and shoot something else. And I think that's what happens with swans sometimes. Mm. But also there's a bit of a joke amongst shooters where they call them big black ducks with long necks. So that also indicates.
Seems to be a lot of frustrated men with guns, and it seems to indicate a particular type of culture that you have, you know, within the duck shooters. We try not to call them duck hunters because hunting sort of indicates a natural order of things, and this really isn't a natural order of things, blasting creatures out of the sky with some mechanical contraption. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your run-ins with the type of culture that duck shooters have and in some of the stories? And I will just give a bit of a trigger warning for any kind of story. We obviously, you're going to be talking about things that might be quite violent, confronting, discussions of harassment, etc. So we will just give a bit of a trigger warning for listeners before we actually launch into those stories.
Yeah, there certainly is a particular type of culture. And as I said, it is predominantly men. We very rarely do see women out there. And it is a culture of enjoying violence. I mean, they, you know, they can use all the excuses under the sun about feeding families, etc. But, you know, when they take a shot and then they're all kind of going, yay, and cheering, and, you know, it's like watching little kids playing a video game or something. You know, that is in getting enjoyment out of that act of killing. I have had instances when I've been out there and we've been threatened with rape like so many times that you can't even, you know, put number to it. They, you know, the majority of rescuers are actually women and they really seem to take exception. They look at those wetlands and those areas as being like their land, their property, and they take a real affront to having women in that. And they'll say this, they'll say, I come here to get away from my children, I come here to get away from my wife, you know, I don't want you to be here, you know, you are stopping me from doing what I'm, you know, what I love to do or what I want to do. And they sometimes come up with these like ridiculous insults too. I mean, the threats of rape are just horrendous. But then, like, I had one man once, he was so angry, you could see he's getting bright red and he's getting more and more and more frustrated. And then finally he said, I have to leave and I'm going to go home and commit a sexual act with a breast of chicken.
Okay.
Now, to me, that makes no sense, but that seemed to be his only way of sort of releasing this frustration at the time. And I think he thought that it would upset me or offend me, which it does because that's disgusting. But also it shows his state of mind that he would even think of such a thing. You know, we've been, you know, had them drop their pants and moon us and do that sort of thing. We've had them take, like, when they get back to shore, take, like, pull the ducks apart and take out their guts and their, you know, their innards and, like, even put them around the bushes, almost like some sort of macabre Christmas decoration, like decorating it around our cars and things like that to, again, to try to upset us and put us off because...
And you intimidate
know.
You.
And intimidate. And it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got a man in camo with a gun who's walking at you and, you know, we've had them throw dead ducks at our cars, dead ducks at us. I've had them call my workplace. I've had them attend my workplace.
So there is harassment outside of the actual duck shooting area. So you've had – so that this harassment is not just whilst you're out on the wetlands trying to rescue ducks. This now bleeds into your personal life and they know where you live and they know who you are, and that harassment continues outside of the wetlands.
It certainly has. It's predominantly on the wetlands, but – you know, when I made a decision years ago to put my name out there as someone who is very vehemently opposed and is working towards ending duck shooting, you know, it was easy enough to find where I work. And, yeah, certainly I have been harassed there over the years multiple times, and other people have too in their workplaces, not just me.
Mm. So it seems I'm very interested in this idea of the majority of the duck shooters are men and the majority of the duck rescuers are women, and that sort of that gender divide and how they treat you. I often think about that because some of the stories I've heard are quite horrifying of the harassment, you know, and that the verbal sexual harassment that goes on, etc. It is interesting to me, and I guess that's for another show, you know, the reason why so many shooters are men and so many rescuers are women. But can you kind of go a little bit more, you know, into what you do? What does a duck rescuer do? How do you try to somehow ameliorate the violence and you know, and stop them from, you know, shooting too many ducks, etc.? What do you do on the wetlands?
Well, there are, I guess, many different ways of rescuing, and it certainly has evolved over the years. There are the, you know, the stories that I guess I grew up with that made me get into this of you know, seeing, you know, Laurie Levy and the and CADs and people running back with wounded birds, and that still happens, but it doesn't happen in quite the same numbers that it used to. And a big part of that is because the authorities have really cracked down on rescuers, not on shooters, on rescuers, because they don't want us out there. They don't want these stories told. Like, they want to present this very sanitized version that duck shooters are wonderful conservationists and wonderful members of the community, and that rescuers are some sort of rabble-rousers, rather than accepting that we are rescuing native wildlife that people have shot for fun. Like, just think about that.
It's such a topsy-turvy world, isn't it? Yeah.
So, yes, certainly there are times that we are picking up wounded birds and taking them to vet attention, but there's also times that we are just spending hours searching for a wounded bird that we know that a duck shooter has left behind, who we may never find, but we want to give them the best possible chance to be found. And, you know, there's also times that we are simply just monitoring for after-hours shooting, before-hours shooting, for other offences out there that we can report to the authorities in the hopes that they will do something. People going over their bag limits, people continuing to shoot without picking up birds or searching for birds that they've already shot. All of these things, we're trying to actually basically do the jobs that the authorities should be doing, but which they don't. So we're trying to attack it from every possible angle, is, you know, break this narrative that shooters are wonderful people, because they're not. They constantly break the law. And even if they're doing things lawfully, legally, as you know, following every possible guideline, duck shooting is still inherently cruel.
And immoral and violent.
And it's outdated. This is not, you know, we're in 2026. To say that people can shoot wildlife for fun is utterly ridiculous, and it's not in line with societal values. It's not what most people want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what really strikes me, the fact that we can still have this happen. You know, it seems that out on the wetland there's it's almost a law unto itself, and I feel like it's, you know, 20, 30, 40 years behind the values that, you know, our society holds, and it's kind of almost like a Wild West situation. And for some reason we have this, you know, we have the state government saying, yeah, that's absolutely fine. You know, that's fine. Go and blast creatures from the sky for fun. Yeah. So what I might do is we might go to a break. Now you've chosen three songs. What was the first one that you mentioned to me that we were going to play?
Well, the first one was "Fly Away" by Lenny Kravitz, because that's obviously what we want all the ducks to do.
Ah, okay. So we're going to play "Fly Away" by Lenny Kravitz, and we will be back after this. And welcome back. You are listening to Freedom of Species. The song that we just heard was "Fly Away" by Lenny Kravitz, one of Nat's picks for today's show. So yes, here in the studio we have Nat Kopass, who is a duck rescuer, talking about the ins and outs of duck rescuing and duck season and all of the gory details. So Nat, we previously in our first part, we talked about in Geelong the proximity to the metropolitan area that duck season is. Can you elaborate a little bit about that and what the ramifications of that are for both people and ducks?
Sure. So in Geelong, there's a few different lakes where shooting occurs, but they are in fairly residential areas, especially with the new sort of growth corridors. So Hospital Swamp area is very close to the Armstrong Creek, like growth area where they're trying to build new housing, etc. So people who are moving into these areas don't actually realise that they are within a kilometre of where duck shooting happens. So for example, last year on Easter, so quite topical for this time of year, the area had been closed for the first couple of weeks of the season due to some threatened species, but it opened up on Good Friday. So on Good Friday, the local community notice boards went crazy with people going, why am I waking up at 6 a.m. to gunshots? Like, what's going on? And we had to say, well, this is the recreational duck shooting season. And people who'd moved in the last few months had no idea that they were buying houses close to where this happens for 3 months of the year. And that's distressing. You know, it's distressing for most people who don't, you know, who aren't used to hearing gunshots near their houses. Mm. But also, you know, imagine your children waking up to that. You know, dogs get upset by the noise. You know, it's just not a pleasant way to live, and especially if you're not expecting it. And of course, with the level of drought that we've had this year in particular, there's very few areas of water. So the birds, the water birds that are around, they do tend to concentrate on the little bits of water that exist. And so when a duck shooter goes there, it's like shooting fish out of a barrel. You know, there's not many places where they can fly away to be safe. They can't just fly to the next area of the lake or the next area of the wetland. There's not really anywhere else for them to fly. So it becomes like an easy shoot, which just means that, you know, unfortunately, more of our native wildlife just gets killed for fun.
So not only are the ducks facing the conditions of, you know, encroachment of human civilization, you know, we're talking about housing developments that are going up around the wetlands, they're also having to face the fact that they're being shot from the sky and shot from the wetlands. I mean, that's a double whammy with regards to, you know, the entire ecosystem and what the ducks face as well. And I can't imagine that it would be a pleasant thing to have 3 months out of the year constant shooting, you know, in that neighbourhood for people. It's just, I'm surprised that even, you know, with the close proximity, I mean, it's a lot of the time it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of society, because they're not hearing the gunshots, they're not hearing, they're not seeing the shooters, they're not having the pellets rain down from, you know, from the air, because it's something that happens away from built-up areas. But obviously you've got this unique situation in Geelong and the Geelong area where it's actually not. It's next to residential areas. Do you think that that sort of is something that affects people's opinions of duck shooters and duck season?
I certainly think it does. We've done some sort of small outreaches in the local shopping centre at Warrilili, and a much larger percentage of the population there knows that it's taking place. Like if you ask sort of in the middle of the CBD, you know, a lot of people still think, oh, yes, maybe it is banned or, you know, I don't know much about it. But when you ask at Warrilili, because people are directly affected by it, the majority of people will say, yes, I'm, you know, I'm aware of that now, or I've heard that, or I've been upset by that, or I hate it, or, you know, if we walk along the track, you'll talk to any of the joggers or dog walkers, they're all like, you know, we hate this, we can't wait for this to be over. So, yeah, they certainly have a much greater awareness of it because they're living it for, this is their life for 3 months of the year.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's pretty confronting, but obviously there's so many aspects of our lives that we really need to sort of analyse and to be confronted by that at least means that you're aware of it happening and it's not out of sight, out of mind. And hopefully in that particular case with Geelong, that might be able to help change opinions and have people, you know, talk about what can be done and, you know, because it doesn't seem like, I mean, the wetlands are only going to get smaller. They're only going to get more enclosed, as human development encroaches on those spaces. So surely there's an idea of, you know, how much pressure can that wetland take and how much pressure can the ducks take? And speaking of that, we were also talking about duck populations and how the shooting affects duck populations and how sustainable that is or not sustainable.
Well, we've certainly noticed that over 24 years, the number of birds that are out there are less and less each year. Like they are.
So there's a total decline in ducks.
There's a total decline. And the Eastern Australian Waterbird Survey, which is a genuine scientific study where they look year on year, so I think that's in about the 40th year, has also over time shown a definite noticeable decline in the species of ducks, of native ducks here.
So a decline in the population of each species?
Of each species.
Has there been a decline in species as well? Like are we seeing less species in the areas that duck shooting occurs?
We certainly, ducks like the hardhead, we hardly see anymore. They were put on the threatened species list for 2 years and not allowed to be shot. And then the minute their population bounced back to supposedly 10,000 in Victoria, they went, oh, great, we can shoot them again. So that's not any definition of conservation that I would believe in. Mm. The pinky, as they're commonly known, or the pink-eared duck, which is the smallest little duck and very cute and really does have a little pink ear. The GMA's own figures state that 37% of the Victorian population was shot by duck shooters last year. And they estimate that another 35% of the population will be shot this year. Now, they claim to follow the science when they make recommendations for the season, but even their supposed science says that a sustainable number of birds that can be shot is 10% of the population. Yet they just allow it. They don't suggest that maybe this bird should be protected or maybe it should be removed from the list. They just go, oh, well, they'll bounce back.
So even their own science, which obviously, you know, needs to be in their favour, even their own science is indicating that the number of ducks that are shot each season is three times a sustainable level for populations bouncing back between seasons. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. But they just say that they will bounce back, so it'll be okay. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but they did use the word bounce back. And where's the science to say that? You know, you're talking about a bird that already has a low population. You kill 37% of them. And of course, that's only estimates. You know, I'm not a statistician, but, you know, I'm sure there's some variation upon that. I don't think you can keep killing that portion of any species and not have a significant impact on them.
So that's a third of each species per year for some of these species. And there is a, I guess, an attitude of that they'll bounce back. I mean, that doesn't even seem to be backed by any fact. There doesn't seem to be any basis in fact of that attitude at all.
No, there isn't. Even if there is some, you know, some slight increase in population 1 year, the overall statistics, the overall data shows that over time they are declining. So you can't just say, oh, okay, yep, 1 year they did bounce back a little bit. Overall, year upon year for 40 years, the species of each game duck has declined. And, you know, that's due to many things, but certainly shooting them doesn't help. Like even if that is due to loss of habitat and climate change and changes in breeding patterns and, you know, there's many reasons involved. But if you're looking at a species that is already under threat, that is already under pressure, why would you allow people to shoot them so that you get rid of even more of them?
Mm. Yeah, it absolutely beggars belief. And to think that, yeah, with these increasing pressures that we see, you know, on these populations and these ecosystems, to then get a, you know, shoot a significant number of these ducks. So from someone perspective, as someone who doesn't really know a lot about it, I know duck rescuers and I've heard stories, etc. This is mind-blowing to think that you have a third of a population of a particular species being shot and killed every year, and that is okay. Yeah,
that's 1 year.
I'm blown away. I don't know how many listeners know about these statistics, but honestly, I don't think the average everyday person does. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, we're having you on our show to talk about these issues and, you know, to actually. And I mean, I guess there's also that sort of leads us into that next topic that we were talking about, the impact on the wetlands of duck season. Can you elaborate on what you were discussing before? I mean, wetlands, if listeners know, wetlands are often quite sensitive ecosystems. They're quite sensitive to change. They're quite sensitive to pollution, to human impact, etc. And in the break, we were talking about the impact of duck season, and I will hand it over to you to talk about that. Yes.
I mean, one thing that bothers us the most is the plastic that's left behind from shotguns. So there's the outer shell and then there's the inner wadding. Again, GMA's own figures, so these are not things I'm making up. These are put out by the department. 1.4 million shotgun shells and 1.4 million bits of wadding per year. So that's 2.8 million pieces of single-use plastic rubbish in our waterways. And the average duck shooter doesn't pick them up. You know, I have, every time I go out there, I fill my pockets, we fill our bags, we fill, we've picked up thousands and thousands and thousands of these over time because we can't stand to have them polluting. But there's also, you know, okay, they can't use lead shot now, but for many years, lead shot was permitted. So there's large quantities of, you know, lead pellets left behind in many of these wetlands.
Just sitting there leaching.
And you know, sometimes when ducks have been, had received vet attention, there are, you know, they do have a significant portion of lead within their systems. You know, there's fishing line and that, you know, other fishing material left behind, because sometimes in some areas like at Lake Connawarry, which is closed this year, but in other years they would do a combination of fishing and shooting. So you'd have fishing line left behind, which gets wrapped around birds' beaks, feet, etc., which also can cause damage and cause death. So, you know, there's just a lot of rubbish left behind. But even just the, you know, having people walking through wetlands all the time.
Traipsing about, yeah.
You know, having boats and, you know, some of the like tremendous oil leaks that we've seen left behind are horrendous as well. Leaving all the duck parts behind, even if that is sort of, you know, off and on shore, like that's quite disturbing as well. And then that just brings more predators to the area, which can also end up killing other wildlife. So, you know, there's just many different ways in which duck shooters are having these negative effects on these sensitive wetlands.
Mm. Wow. Again, as the average citizen, this blows my mind that this continues to this day. I mean, the science doesn't back up population control in inverted commas and the impact on the wetlands with the plastics and the disturbing of the water and the oil leaks and all of these things. I think if you ask the average person, they would say, look, this is an outdated thing. But why, you know, the question I'm left in my mind is, why does the Victorian government still allow this? And that's what I'd love to get down to the bottom of at some stage. I mean, maybe we'll never know. Maybe sometime at some stage the pressure will be so great that we will be able to get them to ban it, as other states have. So I think on that note, we'll go to the next song. This has been mind-blowing for me. Now I'll leave you to announce the next song that you have chosen.
So our next song is Best of You by the Foo Fighters, and this one is going out to all the rescuers out there. Thank you.
Absolutely, all the brave rescuers. And welcome back. You are listening to Freedom of Species. The song that we've just heard was Best of You by the Foo Fighters. We have in the studio Nat Kopas, who is talking to us about the world of duck rescue and the world of duck shooting. So we're in the last segment of Freedom of Species. And Nat, I just wanted to maybe discuss with you things that we haven't gone through that you might want to bring up. And also we'll get to in a second how people can help with duck rescue, with promotion, volunteering, donating, etc., where they go to contact you, or, you know, which website, etc. But is there anything that we haven't covered that you feel is an important issue that you do want to make sure that listeners know?
I think one thing that we found very difficult with this campaign is that it's now gone on for so long that people do forget that it's happening, or people are not necessarily aware that it's happening. So just keeping the issue alive, because, you know, when people do know about it, they're horrified and they don't want duck shooting to continue. But people have to know that it is still happening in order to experience and act on that. So keeping those conversations alive with people, and if you do happen to live in an area where duck shooting is happening, and it's happening near your house and it's impacting you, don't be afraid to call your local MP or your council. Don't be afraid to write to your local paper and just verbalize that this is actually something that horrifies you. Because, you know, if duck shooters want this to stay quiet, the Labor government wants this to stay quiet and out of the news. The authorities want out. They want it to just kind of disappear, sweep it under the rug, nothing to see here. But the reality of it is that it's brutal and it's cruel, and it's happening for one quarter of the year in this state. And we have to stop it. And so, you know, anyone who cares about this issue, there is something that you can do about it.
Yeah, just be vocal, keep having those conversations, keep contacting your local representative. I really think that the whole out of sight, out of mind benefits both the duck shooters and, you know, the people in government who want to keep this going. And I think that whole idea, this incorrect idea that duck shooting has been banned in Victoria, I think a lot of people, if you ask them, would think it's already been banned. And, of course, that also works in their favour as well. If you think something's been banned, you don't have to give it any attention. You don't have to talk about it and have those conversations. Yeah, it's a huge issue. And again, I think it's something that is so disparate with what we have as a modern society and what modern society sees as an ethical pastime, you know, blasting ducks out of the sky for fun. And I think, you know, if you've been listening and you want to get actively involved and help, you know, how would one do that? What would be the most effective way to actually get involved with your organisation, to contact you, to volunteer or donate, etc.?
There's many different ways. So there's our organisation, Geelong Duck Rescue. There's Coalition Against Duck Shooting. There's Barwon Against Duck Shooting. There's the End Duck and Quail Shooting Alliance. There's Regional Victorians Opposed to Duck Shooting. There's many organisations who are all operating on shoestring budgets and with very, very tired volunteers who would love to have your help in any way that you can. And I know often when people talk to us about saying, you know, I'd love to help, but I couldn't face seeing the violence, or I just, it's too much. And I totally understand that, because, you know, that's actually a normal reaction, is to say, I don't want to see violence. I don't want to see animal cruelty. But there are so many other ways that you can get involved. Like, you've heard me mention a few statistics throughout this. You know, we're constantly doing research and reading, and there's so much of that sort of thing to do, you know, again, contacting MPs and things like that are things that people can do. There's even just, you know, chipping in $10 to help a rescuer with their petrol is a huge help. You know, sometimes someone's brought a coffee down to the wetland for one of us, for, you know, when you come out of the water and you're freezing cold, and like, that's, you know, any little gesture is so appreciated. So There's, you know, there's people that, you know, have a stay at their houses so that we can, you know, save on petrol. I'm not saying that everyone should suddenly open their houses up, but just saying that there are so many different ways that people can assist. And, you know, and if you do want to be involved in a more wetland way, you know, you would never, you know, you will always be with experienced people. You will undergo training beforehand. You will have, you know, your questions will be answered. Like, it's not like we just throw people out there. There's, you know, there's a lot of support. You're part of a team. But there are so many ways that you can do things from home. Like, if you want to say, I've got 15 minutes spare a week, I will find you a job that you can do from sitting at home that will be genuinely helpful to us. So best ways to contact any of these organisations, usually on our social media. You know, we all have day jobs, so it's harder to answer telephone calls and stuff during the day. But, you know, our website, our Instagram or Facebook, reach out on there, and we would absolutely love to have you involved or love to have you helping us.
And can you let us know your website? No. We'll put that in the notes anyway. That's all right. I think probably the take home is that anyone can get involved. It doesn't matter how much time you have or how much money or whether you can even get out of the house to do anything. There's something that can be done to help duck rescuers. And for me, you know, I'm not sure if I could ever get out on the wetlands. I don't think I would survive mentally. I don't think I would, like, I would survive that whole seeing the violence. And so my hat's off to you and the other rescuers who year after year you go out, you confront these shooters, you do, you know, the promotion of, you know, duck rescue throughout the year, you know, not just at the coalface on the wetlands, but, you know, pushing legislation, talking to your MPs, doing the research, as you said. It is an amazing thing that you do. And I am so glad that you came on, and it was such a timely, you know, a thing that we got you on during duck season. And, you know, when does duck season end?
So it ends on the public holiday Monday of the King's Birthday long weekend.
And that's,
so
in
that's
June
the 8th.
Yeah, okay. So a long time.
A long time.
So if you wanted to get involved directly on wetlands, you can still do it. You know, we'll put all of this in the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Nat. This has been fantastic. Was there anything else that you wanted to add? I mean, actually, I have a question for you. You know, what is the future of duck shooting? Do you see a lot of young people going out there? Is it older people? What's the future? I mean, because I think personally that when you see a lot of young people getting into it, you know that this is an upcoming thing. But if you don't, maybe it's not something that's going to keep going.
The demographic, and if you somewhere there is some data on the demographic sort of year on year, and the demographic is getting older and older. And the number of shooters each year, I think about 5 years ago, it was about 25,000 registered duck shooters. Last year was 20,100. So it's certainly going down.
Interesting.
You see a handful of yahoos with, you know, shiny utes and, you know, a little bit younger, but they are the minority. It's mainly older people who are hanging on. It's, you know, it's certainly on the decrease, but that's still not good enough, because every single bird that he shot suffered. So
yeah,
what we're working towards is a ban, and it will happen. And it will happen because we've had 40 years of very dedicated, loyal, hardworking rescuers who have just put themselves out there again and again and again, because we all believe that it will happen, because it has to happen, because this is totally outdated and it absolutely cannot continue in our society.
Yeah. So we can't wait for this naturally to die out. We have to actively work towards getting it banned, because every life of every duck counts, as you said. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Nat, this has been an eye-opener for me, and I hope it's been an eye-opener for our listeners. And if you can get involved in any way, whether it's donations or whether it's being on the wetlands or whether it's contacting your local representatives or anything that you can do, we need to get this banned. And Yeah, that's the end of it. So we're going to go to our last song. What was the song that we were going to sing or that we were going to play, Nat? These are all chosen by Nat. I think it is. So we had Lenny Kravitz's song. Then we had, I think this one was by the Foo Fighters. No, we've already played the Foo Fighters. That's right. Okay. The New Radicals. That's right. So
You Get What You Give by the New Radicals. And okay. It just seemed like a nice way to finish this off. And I'm sorry I went blank. And thank you for having me here tonight.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.